months ago did so because of Jesus' promises to his apostles, which were acted out on this day of Pentecost, so many years ago. The men were not drunk, as some suppose. And there's a second half to the story of Pentecost, which, under the inspiration of God, Luke meticulously describes, so that we may believe these things and rejoice in Jesus. Peter stands up and he raises his voice and he says, "Men of Judea, and all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. These men are not drunk, as some suppose. But what you hear and see today is exactly what was spoken of by Joel in the Old Testament, that it will come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit on all men." And the end of the prophecy says, "So that whoever," this is not a club, this is not a group, you don't sign up to be a Christian, "but so that whoever hears this word about Christ crucified for their sins and risen for their justification can call on the name of the Lord, knowing that Jesus has saved them." And then he goes on and he says, "Men and women of Israel and of Nazareth and everybody who is here, God had decided that rather than you die on account of your sin, he sends his son Jesus, who was taken by lawless hands, crucified, and put to death, and whom God raised the third day. And this word has been preached to you and will be given to you and sung to you and prayed to you and told to you by parents and pastors and children and those throughout the land and throughout the world, so that people can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be very confident that this God who has interceded for you, this God who so loved the world, this God who gave you his only Son, can believe and have life in his name here, this side of heaven, and when you breathe your last, knowing that it is the words and promises of Jesus that will see you through this valley of death into the world to come. Until then, the gospel will be preached and poured out and placed into your tongues, and the words of Jesus will ring through cities and towns and continents throughout the entire world, because without the word of Jesus, no one will call on the name of the Lord. Each one will do what they think is right in their own mind's eye, and then they will die and go to hell. That, my friends, is what God has given his Son for, so that no one has to live in ignorance their life. But no, what Jesus describes and talks about in John is their very source of comfort. In fact, John 14, 15, and 16, these three chapters are the bulk in the Gospels, and they teach us about this God who comes to point us to Jesus, who was sent by the Father. Part of that, and you've been raised and have been brought into this holy Christian church to hear these sweet words of Jesus. This is one of those places in the gospel that is, how shall I say, very fuzzy and warm. And in fact, the love of God oozes from these words of Jesus. These words that we've grown up knowing and cherishing and loving and trusting. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me," that's you, dear baptized in Christ. Because not only has God baptized you, but he's also taught you of his love. And then, once that relationship between a holy God and a sinful person has been poured out with the blood of Jesus and covered, now you know God as the one and Father who loves you and has brought you into a relationship where you can say to Him, "And I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength and reason and life." If anyone, it's available to all to come to the cross and hear the words of Jesus, "Repent," and have Him faith you. If anyone loves me, and this is what faith does, it keeps His word. And the Father and the Son send the Comforter. He's the PR man for Jesus. He's very shy when it comes to the Trinity, because He always, like John the Baptist, wants to get behind the scenes and point us to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross, despised its shame, and the Father raised Him up, and now He's at the right hand, interceding for you, preparing a place for you. And so the baptized keep, treasure, guard, live, breathe, and move in the promises of Jesus. He's our hope. He's our joy. He's not a second lawgiver. He's not about ceremonial laws or Levitical laws or even state laws. He's not a Santa Claus keeping rules. He's not like your mother or girlfriend that may keep a list of things done wrong. No, this is the one that took all of that with Him to the cross and had it nailed to His innocent body and became the guilty one so you can go free. Yes, God so loved you this way. And then you've come to that knowledge through His word. And now the faith that He's given you in your baptism or conversion, He still keeps that self-same word deep in your heart so you can call God, like Jesus did, "My Father." And on Easter, He said to the disciples, "I'm going to go away to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And my Father will love you." And then we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, here it comes, and this is just almost too fantastic of a promise. We will come to you and make our home with you. Every blood-bought Christian knows that sweet relationship that our Savior and brother has brought us into. And every one of us, be ye Christian or not, has those special places in our world, in your house, in the wilderness, at the beach, in the redwoods, in your backyard, the quietness of your room, where it's safe and calm, and you can call it home. God takes that same imagery and lifts it up far above the earthly things, and He says, "We're going to make our home with you," so that we know He's always our Father, Christ is always our brother, and the Lord and giver of life, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Helper, does indeed comfort us. We will make our home with you. 10-15 years ago, a gal from this congregation gave me a little book, little booklet, maybe 12 pages, not long. It's only about 4 inches tall. And I think the title of the little book was "My Heart, Christ's Home." And in that little story, it tells, in kind of a childlike way, God coming to us and entering into our hearts and going through the picturesque language of each room in our heart, cleaning it out, setting the table, making everything nice. And then we got to one more room in the heart. And the person said, "Oh no, Lord, you can't go in there." He says, "Well, the door is locked. Why is it locked?" "Well, I'm ashamed of what's in that room." Jesus said, "Little child, I've come to clean out every room so that you can hear my word and rejoice in my promises." And so the child hung their head and walked away, and he said, "No, come with me into that room. I want to make my home in you." And he swept it and cleaned it and made it all fresh. And the child smiled. That's this business of God coming to comfort us. And he's always done it through means of his word, that word of forgiveness. The word of the cross. It's the word of reconciliation. It's the word of putting away the handwriting on the wall. It's a word of no more shaking the finger, no more culture rules or blue laws or what's popular or not in the world. No. It's a word about the Lamb who was slain for you. It's about God's sacrifice of His Son for you who are most valuable. We will come and we will comfort you and make our home with you. And know this, that the things that I'm saying to you, I'm not inventing. The Father gave them to me to say to you, so that you know, Jesus is speaking, so that you know what He's like. Because no man can see the Father with these eyes and live. That's why He sent me. So that you can know how things are with your Father. And you, His blood-bought and baptized children, we love Him now. And we're glad that He's with us. I've spoken these things to you ahead of time. And I'm going to go away, but I will come back to you. And the Father and I will send this third person of the Trinity. Just put God in there if you have a hang up about what the Father is and who the Son is and the Holy God. We will come to you. We will comfort you. Nobody else can do that. Especially those things inside that maybe we have a little locked room. Maybe it's a little cubby far away. No. Fear not. The Lamb has been slain. Sins are forgiven. I trust the absolution. I believe in Jesus when He says, "I will baptize and give you faith in the washing waters of baptism." Contrary to my sins and my conscience, I want to leave here with a clean conscience, and I want to be fed on the Lord's body of life, so I will open my mouth at thy word and believe, given and shed for you here with this wine and this simple bread. Yes, the Father will make His home with us so that we can live in peace. Peace toward our Father, not so much toward the world, because the world still doesn't know Jesus. But I've told you this ahead of time so that when you're out there and you see all those creepy, scary, idolatrous, heathen, pagan, ungodly, unrepentant people, number one, you can remember, I've called you out of that. I've cleaned you up, washed you, named you, and you hear my voice only. Number two, I'm going to send you back out. Sometimes it may feel as sheep among wolves. Sometimes it may feel like a round peg in a square hole. Sometimes it may feel like you're swimming upstream. And why doesn't the world join in with me in their frivolity and idolatry? and sin. And they'll mock me and they'll laugh at me. But, O Lord, I will plug my ears at their voices, and I will still sing your praises. And I will teach my children about the love of Jesus. And through those stories, in your vocation, where you're at from one Lord's Day to the next, this story about Jesus will go out. It's not a program. It's not forced. It's not an invention of men's words. No, it's this same Spirit that has made his home in you, that has taught you very simply who Jesus is, that the world now is still dying to hear about. So Pentecost takes place today. You're here because of Jesus' promise. You have peace because of Jesus' promise. You rejoice because of Jesus' promise. You believe because of Jesus' promise. You are comforted because of Jesus. And you and I, when we have opportunity, we will, because of Jesus, tell that old, old story of Jesus and his love. To him be the glory, and he who has begun this good work in you will complete it all the way up unto the day of the resurrection. For Jesus' sake, amen. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts with Christ until the day of his coming. Amen.